out of Egypt have I called my son. What amazing saying. Or I could title this message, "The Second Christmas is Far More Important Than the First." The second Christmas is far more important than the first. Naturally, from the title, "Out of Egypt Have I Called My Son," I've got three simple thoughts, and I'm going to hurry through it. No doubt in my mind, God gave us this, and so it may seem that I'm not preaching as much as I may be reading some of this, but I do not want to leave anything out. Number one, to come out of Egypt, he must first enter. And he explains that to us in verse 13. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Folks, that hasn't stopped. That's been going on a long time, but it hasn't stopped yet. And it's not going to stop until he stops it. "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Since he took upon himself the fleshly nature of us, he had to go down into Egypt." Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of the flesh. And so his nature demanded he do that. And you'll understand as we get into the message. Listen to me in Hebrews 2:16. "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels." God could have sent 10,000 angels. Matter of fact, this puny crowd we've got today of liberals, God could have sent one angel and destroyed that bunch. "He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." Hebrews 2:17, 18. "Wherefore in all things," that covers a lot of territory. It matters not what you've been through or what you're going through or what you're going to go through. He covered it. Are you listening to me? The foreknowledge of God determines the providential outworking of God. Nothing will happen to you by chance. Nothing. I could have easily been put to death in Egypt. But I be honest with you, and I'm not bragging, I didn't worry about it. They got scared because I just walked out in the street one night to get some fresh air after the service. It's dark, and there's people all over the place out there. And they were screaming and crying, Dr. Monty, come in, quick, please, please, come in. It's not safe. And folk out there wasn't paying me a bit of attention. Matter of fact, when I got away from them, I walked all over the place. In God's will, you're safer than out of his will. Amen. Listen to this. "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." He couldn't be made like unto his brethren unless he went down into Egypt. You say, but he's a little child. Yeah, but I'm doing a message with a lot of typology involved. I hope you'll bear with me on it. "That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God." Sharon, you asked that question in Sunday school about praying. Your high priest wants you to talk to him. He's experienced everything you're going through, everything I'm going through, everything all of us are going through. He loves for us to say something to him so he can intercede to God our Father, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. For alliteration's sake, number one could be, you've got to go down in Egypt to suffer. God only had one son without sin, but he never had a son without suffering. Are you listening to me? Why is this happening to me, Brother Marty? Why not you? I'm tired of it happening to me all the time. Amen. Somebody said, do you ever get used to everything you go through with Brother Marty? I just accept it. I'm honest. I've arrived at the place that I can accept whatsoever state I'm in. The happiest person in here will be the person that can accept the state God has placed you in. So you're in Egypt because God wanted you in Egypt. Amen. And he hasn't called you out of Egypt yet, but he will. And so he goes a little further with this. He's able to succor them that are tempted. Every mother in here knows what that is when that little child is going through some danger it sees. Look at verse 15, Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Number two, all of his sons are called out of Egypt. I don't know where you're at in your relationship to Christ, but you can rest assured he's put you in Egypt so he can call you out of Egypt. You would never have the grace of God extended to you in your life had you not understood what it's like to be in Egypt. When God delivers a person out of Egypt, out of the flesh, out of the world, even Paul said, I knew him, but now we know no man after the flesh. We don't even know Jesus after the flesh. As a matter of fact, what you may think is the Jesus of the flesh is a picture written or drawn by Leonardo da Vinci, a Catholic artist commissioned to draw a picture of what he thought Jesus looked like. And the person that sits for him, and he painted his Jesus, 7 years later he found him in a dungeon in Rome and painted him as Judas Iscariot. Is that not amazing history? Look it up in your history. So see, we forget him after the flesh. He wants us to come out of Egypt. See, all of his sons, Matthew 2:16. Now, Jesus was taken into Egypt after he was a year old. Christmas was over. The average Baptist will live it up during Christmas, but they do nothing after Christmas for the cause of Christ. Second Christmas is far, far more important to God than the first one. As a matter of fact, religion has him still as a babe in a manger, a babe in the arms of Mary. You go over to these religious countries like I've been over these years, and I've been in England, been in Germany, been in France, been in Greece, been in Israel, been in Upper and Lower Egypt, and all these places. You see religion in the raw. And everywhere that there's a semblance of Jesus, it's still a child in the arms of a mother. Not the sovereign God of heaven, who took upon himself a body like unto yours and ours and suffered. To suffer. He came to suffer. I don't like suffering, Brother Marty. I know you don't. I don't either. But it's ordained. You cannot run from suffering. All of his sons are called out of Egypt. What would you alliterate number two as, Brother Marty? Well, if number one was the suffering, then number two is the salvation. When God calls us out of Egypt, Matthew 2:16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. I've been in Bethlehem 5, 6, 7 times. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't pay this any attention the first time I went over there, but the second time I went over there, Holy Spirit brought this mind. Looked around, there wasn't even many children there now. It's just like, you don't want to be around Bethlehem. It might happen again. Hello? And in all the coast thereof, all the coast of Bethlehem, we can call that Talladega County, plus a few other counties in the state of Alabama. From 2 years old and under, not over, under, because Herod remembered what these wise men followed the star for and when it was that they appeared, etc., etc. So he knew, if I can just kill every child between 2 years old and down, I've got this supposed king who's going to sit on the throne out of the way. According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Look at Matthew 2:19. But when Herod was dead, thank God is dead. Amen. There's some people ought to be dead. I know some's lived long enough. Amen. They give me hell. I don't know about you. I'm going to tell you, there's some people could die and you wouldn't miss them. I'm going to tell you something else. There's some people could die and you wouldn't even know it. You say, Brother Marty, you ought not make light of the dead. 155,000 people is going to die this 24 hours. Now, what you going to do about it? By the time you find out all of them, there'll be another 155,000 that died and you didn't even know who they were. You drive yourself crazy trying to keep up with the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the gospel. Amen. So as long as God gives me strength, I'm going to prove to the world Marty the Baptist is still alive. Oh boy, I can't wait to get in this, Brother Frank. An angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, verse 20, and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. Thank God we're going home one day, folk. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. Number three. If number one is suffering, and number two is salvation, all are called to separation from. Egypt was once my home, not anymore. When I use the word separation, it scares a lot of Baptists to death, but if God saves you, you are separated. As a matter of fact, the act of the redemptive process includes spiritual circumcision. When God cuts your new being away from your old being and imputes righteousness into that new person, that which is born of God doth not commit sin. It cannot sin. He cannot sin because his seed, his nature, remaineth in him that he cannot sin. See, if you're bought with a price, boy, what an awful price. You know something, Brother Frank? Hey, this is on my heart. I got to get it off. You don't mind. You're the pastor. Thank you. I care less what anybody else thinks, you know. I'm going to obey my pastor. But listen to me. I'm serious. If you've seen what I've seen, I got here this morning. I thought the parking lot would be full. I thought the Sunday school class would be full. I thought the auditorium would be full. How many days without rain? And yet, it doesn't seem to register what God has done. Look what God done up in Tennessee. Look what God done in Israel, friends. Look what's going on all over our world. And God answers prayer for the saints of God. And yet, goodness gracious, I'd hate to take all of y'all out to eat, but I sure would hate to take all of you out to eat if the place was full. Lord, it'd be ashamed. Amen. Seems like when God sends warnings, people don't even listen to it anymore. And I'm hurrying, but I've got to say this. Matthew 2:23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Oh, but Brother Marty, he's supposed to come out of Egypt and go to Israel, to Judea. Yeah, no, not expecting him to go to Nazareth. Why Nazareth? Oh, separation. See, the word Nazarene. Now, Jesus was not a Nazarite. That was a sect of religion. He was a Nazarene. And as a Nazarene, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:2-3, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. If you don't think it's a dry ground, go to Egypt. Amen. I mean, you'll see more sand than you've ever seen in your life. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected. A picture of every child of God whom God has called out of Egypt. If you're not despised and rejected by this world, you better check up. There's something wrong with your religion. I'm telling you the truth. I may not make you believe what I believe, but to make you believe, I believe what I believe. Oh, and listen to this. So were the Nazarenes, and so are we, a man of sorrows. You know, I've had a lot of people come to me, and see, to the people that don't know me, they think I'm very flippant, facetious. They don't think Brother Marty ever cries, ever gets lonely, ever gets burdened, ever gets weighted down with sorrow. You see, you don't live with me. I live over in a little old apartment by myself, and I thank God for it. And I praise God for these last few years because he sent me to Alabama. And my children said, "Pop, come back over here, come back over here." I said, "I can't. I love you, and I'd be glad to. But I can't. I've got to stay where God wants me to stay." And I sat there in that chair many a night. No, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you the truth. I'd give anything if my phone would ring so I could talk to somebody. And I'd sit there in that chair, Frank, and I'd get so lonely for companionship and so lonely for fellowship. Somebody said, "Well, you got the Lord." Yeah, but I'm still in this nature. See, I'm learning what it means to go through with what he went through, the second Christmas. The first Christmas is opening the present. The second Christmas is you not getting what you wanted. Hello? You're getting what he wanted you to have. "Mom, I don't need another pair of pants, another pair of socks, another shirt." That's all you're getting, boy. Hello? Y'all not with me. Some of you. Isaiah 53:7-9. He was oppressed. My goodness, can you imagine? I was talking to somebody just the other day. Brother Frank and I were standing by their vehicle, and that person was telling Brother Frank and I how oppressed they were, how distraught they were at the time. God's going to make sure you're oppressed. "Boy, I wish it'd get better." No. Don't never think like that. It's got to get worse before it gets better. See, you get better before you die. Hello? Y'all not with me. Everybody dies, gets better before they die. It's got to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Yet he opened not his mouth. I saw a real, actual picture on Facebook of a young Christian over in another country. They had him tied to a cross, and he was literally burning. They burned this pastor to death. If you're on Facebook, you ought to go see it. We've got it made in America right now. But let me say something. Just because Trump won the election, that's not going to make everything hunky-dory. We got a second Christmas coming, folk. The first one's great. Thank God for the mistletoe, the bubbling lights, all the decorations, everything. But the second one's coming. You see, he's brought us a lamb to the slaughter, and so are you and I. We've got to learn how to die daily. I got a $3 raise, Social Security. Now I found out that the health care is going to be $5. I don't understand that. How can you get raised and lowered at the same time? That's Christianity. Y'all not with me? Child of God can be on the mountain while they're in the valley. And the greatest valleys you'll ever have is when you've experienced the mountain. Because God didn't give you that mountain to stay there. He gave you that mountain to prepare you for that next valley that he wants to put you into. He was cut off out of the land of the living. I've been cut off out of the land of the living. Preachers that used to know me have nothing to do with me anymore because I preach what they don't believe. I preach the sovereignty of God. I preach the doctrine of selection. I don't call it election, Brother Frank. I call it selection. As you were dealing with this morning, it brought back to my mind. You know why I preach a doctrine of selection? Because it's not only biblical, it's a natural thing. Tip, did you not select Barbara? See, a lot of fellas just got stuck with the one they got. I picked May out. I let her hang around me 30 days. Then she got on her knees and begged me to marry her. See, my foreknowledge already knew I had her. It's just drawing her to me. Now, if you have the right to select what you have selected, why put down God for selecting who he wants to select? He's God. You're not. And yet you want the kind of car you drive. You want the kind of house you live in. You want the kind of job you've got. You want the this, you want that, and then you don't want God to be able to select who he wants to select. It's too late. He done it. That's good English, isn't it? He done it. No, Brother Marty, he's already done it. That's better English. He made his grave with the wicked. You will and I will. They're going to take you out here in one of these places and put you in the ground, and it may be by somebody wicked. You say, it's my wife. It don't matter. Some of y'all need a joke. I just thought of one. Policeman was doing his nightly beat, and he's walking down through there, and there's a bright light shining there at the lamppost, and there's a graveyard. And as he gets some of that light, he heard somebody say, why did you die? Why did you die? Why did you have to die? It got a hold of his heart. The gate was open, and so he took his flashlight, and he went walking out in there at him. And he got out there, and he seen a man laying over this grave. He said, oh, Lord, maybe I can comfort him. He said, sir, I don't mean to startle you, but I heard you. He said, oh, why did you die? Is that your mother? No. Is it your wife? No. Why are you so upset? You're crying out, why did you die? It's my wife's first husband. You know, I much rather stick with selection. It'll work out pretty good. And I'm not making fun of divorce, this, that. I hate it. I hate it happens. And it's going to. Jesus even prophesied of it. Sometimes it turns out much better than the first go around. Sometimes it don't. I'm just going to love people. You don't think I love you, but I do. And with a rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Now, there's one thing you can say about Marty Few. I've been over here 4 years. I've not done any violence. The police have not knocked on my door yet. Neither was any deceit within his mouth. Now, I'm closing out, but please don't miss the rest of this. Just going to take me less than 5 minutes. Isaiah 53:12. He was numbered with the transgressors. Mike Maddox, there was a day when you was numbered with them. You're still numbered with them. They don't believe you got anything. They don't trust you. They don't even like you. But you're still numbered with the transgressors. Till the day you die, Barb, you're still numbered. You ever heard somebody say, I got your number. Don't worry, I've had it all my life. You can have it. Thank God there's a day when I will change. I'll drop this robe of flesh and rise to seize the everlasting prize. If Jesus had a song that he could have sung on his second birthday, I kind of believe this was his song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. He never was at home in this world. You know why? He was away from his father. But he come to get a family and to take that family home with him. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready for your second Christmas? You say, Brother Marty, there's a lot of things about this Christian life I haven't understood yet. I've been at it a few years myself and still don't understand everything about it. But there's one thing I know. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Can I ask you to stand while the pianist comes and the song leader? And Brother Frank's going to come, and we're going to have an invitation. I really feel in my heart that the Holy Spirit has nudged us that, to give you an opportunity. I don't know. You may have a need of coming to the altar and just thanking God for what he's allowed you to go through. Sometimes we overlook thanking God what he's put us through, because what he's put us through is going to work for good to us later down the road. And then you may be here and you're lost. You've never been saved. You've never went down into Egypt in the sense that he's talking about in the scripture. Therefore, you've never been called out of Egypt and been separated to serve the living God. If you are, I invite you to come this morning while we sing.